Welcome to Center this morning. Let's start our worship by turning to hymn number 105, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Grace that takes
Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together today to this place and to worship you. We ask, Lord, that you open our minds and our hearts to the words that are spoken, and that we can take those with us out into the world and spread your love to all that we come in contact with and meet on a daily basis. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You got it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're all doing well today. You're a fine-looking group of people. Good to see you this morning.
We all came from Carolina.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. I encourage you to look through your bulletin and make note of announcements, activities that are coming up. Tommy, you want to comment on the field trip for praying for schools?
Worship, we're doing a prayer field trip. We'll be traveling to select Randolph County schools and one down in Lee County. We're going to be praying specifically over those schools for God's protection, God's blessing, God's will over the students and the staff and the facilities there. And then that will be leaving here at 12:45 this afternoon, so there's plenty of time to run down to the General Dollar and grab you some snacks and come on and join us. There's plenty of room in the van. Also, this Thursday night, we'll be hitting the Guilford County schools, select schools there. We'll be leaving at 6 p.m. Thursday night and traveling to certain schools within Guilford County that have an impact with the center, praying over them for the upcoming school year. And then once that's done, the church will send a letter on behalf of everyone, encouraging them as a school, offering resources, assistance, whatever they need, so we can connect better with our schools. Thank you.
We also have a monthly meeting this evening, and I've been asked to, in the bulletin it says 7 o'clock. Actually, at our last monthly meeting, we approved going back to our 5 o'clock time. So monthly meeting will be this evening at 5 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. I hope all of you can come out and participate in the business of the meeting, and a good chance to be together and to worship and to fellowship and to do the business. So that will be this evening at 5 o'clock. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning?
Yes,
I was going to ask you about that. Tell us the details.
Well, it's Zephan Lennox Bryant, which is a mouthful. And he weighed 8 pounds and 9 ounces and was 22 inches long, and he was born on the 10th. So
that is
a new
one. That is tremendous.
What was the first name?
Zephan.
Z-E-P-H-A.
Z-E-P-H-A-N-Z.
That is tremendous. Congratulations to the parents and to the proud grandparents and other family members. Truly a blessing and a tremendous occasion. I think Charlie and Rhonda are really good at being grandparents to boys, if you need any advice. I think they got it down pat. So, other announcements that need to be made this morning.
Quick thank you again to for everybody that helped with Bible school and who helped with the FEMAP or for donating materials for our FEMAP service project. I got a thank you note from them, and they did count that after Friendly Worker Circle helped pack up some of the little remaining items. And John and Hazel Carroll took those two FEMAP that we ended up with 37 school kits and 19 farm worker kits. And they did want me to let everybody know that they are very grateful that the farm worker kits went straight to a Christmas tree farm in Virginia, and the school kits went straight to a school in Greensboro. So the need was there, and you helped fill it. So thank you very much.
That is tremendous.
That is a wonderful ministry. FEMAP does a great job, and I appreciate all who contributed during Bible school for that important ministry. I will bring this up as during our prayer concerns too, but I was given a note that Burgess Thacker has returned home from Duke Hospital, so I'll mention that during our prayer time. But he does like to get cards. Many of you remember Burgess Thacker, and he does like to get cards, so we're encouraged to send him cards to the address that's actually still in the directory. That address is correct, so be sure to make a note of that. Maybe send him a get well card. If there are no other announcements, if our ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offering. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Help us to be ever mindful. Help us to be alert and aware of the ways in which you move and work, the ways in which you lead us and instruct us and transform us. Lord, all that you ask for us from us is an open and willing heart. So help us to be your faithful followers. Help us to be generous and give as you have given to us. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
When I come
kids.
But I'm proud of you when I see them.
I like mouse.
You like mice? Do you know if you like having mouse? You do? What about, let's see, what else some of these here? How about deep water? Does that scare you guys? Kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, it feels like far too concerned, so scary.
You'll be scared, that's right.
If you go really far out of the ocean, that would be scary.
That'd be really scary, wouldn't it? If you didn't come on a life jacket or somebody to help you, that's right. Is anybody scared of the dark? Are you?
Remember those? Can you go to your classes? Okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we have you for when we are afraid, when we are scared. Help us to remember that we just have to trust you, that you will be with us and help us to not be afraid of those things such as being in the dark or being in deep water or seeing a snake. Lord, I just ask that you be with each of these young people, that you just bless them and that you hold them very close as they may be going into new classrooms and maybe going into new schools. I just pray that you will be very, very close to them and help them to know that you are right by their side and all they have to do is to call on you and to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Martha Jo. At this time, we'll enter into a time of prayer for one another. Are there prayer concerns you'd like to share this morning? Yeah, Linda?
He's got neuropathy and he's left foot real bad. And they had to take the bone out because it deteriorated. And they're going to have to go back in sometime this week and put some more screws and
stuff here. One in my prayer, please. You say Jeff Martin?
Jeff Martin.
Let's, of course, let's remember Burgess Thacker, who's just returned home from being at Duke Hospital. I think he had a severe urinary tract infection and had to be hospitalized, so just remember Burgess Thacker.
Terry?
Yes?
If we could remember the Haggerty family, they live in Ashboro, and their house, they had a big, huge, old oak tree that during the storms last night, part of the tree fell on their home. And not only do they use their home for their place of residence, they also use it as an event venue for weddings. And they have weddings booked there in the fall in the upcoming months. So if we could just remember their family and hope that they can get everything repaired quickly.
Okay. Thank you, Whitney. That's the Haggerty family who had a tree fall on their home during a recent storm. So.
Terry, yes. Mel Smith, Marvin's brother, came through the surgery successfully, has had a few complications. Needs to be remembered in prayer.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
Vernon Puckett is a neighbor who is going through bone cancer right now.
What was his first name?
Vernon.
Vernon Puckett.
He's been senior meals.
Okay, yeah. Are there others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we are mindful of these requests that have been voiced this morning. We are mindful of these individuals and their particular situations or struggle or and we know you are already at work in each of these situations. We remember Burgess Thacker, and just remember Burgess and pray for him as he has returned home after being hospitalized for a while, and just pray for continued good health and recovery for him. We pray that you would just lift his spirits as folks send him cards and remember him and just let him know that they're thinking about him, that you will lift his spirits and help to renew his health each and every day. We remember Jeff Martin and just pray for him as he's may need to have some surgery related to his neuropathy, and there may be some issues with removing a bone, and just we just pray for guidance for the doctors and healing for him. We remember Mel Smith and just pray for Mel, Marvin's brother, as he has come through surgery and things have gone well, but there have been a few complications. We just pray your healing and your presence to be with him, to give him peace and strength each and every day. We remember Vernon Puckett and just pray for Vernon as he struggles with a cancer diagnosis and bone cancer, and just pray for healing, for your peace and your grace to he and his family. And we remember, Lord, the Haggerty family who have had to face the difficult situation of a tree falling on their home and the place where they live and operate a business and a venue. And so we just pray for that family as they are displaced and are trying to make repairs and resolve the situation for individuals that may be depending on them. So we just pray that you give them strength and guidance and peace in the midst of this difficult situation. Lord, we know you are in control. We know that you you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the light of the world. You're the bread of life. Lord, you are what we need each and every day. So I just pray your strength and your guidance in each of these situations. For is it in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. My scripture reading this morning is from, again, from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 17. John 15, 1 through 17. That can be found on page 1676 in your pew Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. I heard a story a while back about a missionary in a small African village, and that village didn't have any electricity. But those that supported this particular mission had sent that missionary a small generator to supply current for his church and for his small living quarters. Now, there were some natives from an outlying mission that came to visit that pastor, and as they sat in his living room, they noticed an electric light hanging from the ceiling of his living room. And they watched wide-eyed as he turned the little switch and the light went on. Now, one of the visitors asked if he could have that light bulb. The priest, thinking that he wanted it for some sort of trinket, gave him one of his extra bulbs. Now, as the pastor visited that outlying mission, he stopped at the hut of the man who had asked for the bulb. And imagine his surprise when he saw that bulb hanging from the top of his ceiling from an ordinary stream. Not working, obviously. So he had to explain to the man that one had to have electricity and wire to bring that current to the bulb to create light. Now, we may laugh at the innocence of that African native, but speaking from my own perspective, I'm probably not much better with electricity. I have a serious appreciation for electrical current. I always have, and maybe because of that fear, Martha Jo, I tend to call professionals rather than handling my own electrical repairs. I learned that lesson particularly well several years ago when I was changing out a dishwasher And our electrical panel was actually in a utility room, which you can only access from the outside of the house. So there was a window at the back of the house, and I needed the dishwasher on for a period of time, and then I wanted Leanne, who I placed outside in that utility room, to turn that power off. And so I yelled out for her to turn it off, and I don't know if she didn't hear me or misunderstood me, and I got quite a shock. Of course, I blamed her for doing it on purpose. Also had a situation not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I think, where my certain outlets in my kitchen stopped working, and I tried to solve the problem the best I could. I plug it in, I'd unplug it. Plug it in, I'd unplug it. And I talked to an expert. I saw David Robinette one Sunday. I said, David, I've got some issues with some outlets at my house. He said, well, have you, he said, have you checked your breakers? I said, yeah, I've checked my breakers. Have you checked the, what do they call them, David?
Ground fault.
Ground fault, yeah. I said, yeah, I've done all that. He said, well, I'll come over one afternoon and one evening after work, or I can't remember what it was, but he said, I'll check it out for you. He got there and he hit the ground fault and it was working. I thought I checked. I guess I hadn't. Boom, I leave those electrical issues to the experts. In our text today, Jesus told the story about the importance of just such connections to our source of power. Now, in his analogy, he uses the imagery of the vine and the branches rather than electricity. But just as electricity provides the power necessary for a bulb to burn or outlets to work, so the vine provides the life necessary for the branches to produce fruit. And as Jesus is relaying this story to his disciples, he uses another one of those I am statements that we've been talking about over the last several weeks. There are seven of them in the Gospel of John, and this is the last one. This is the last in this series. I am the true vine. Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the vine grower. And the true believers are the branches. And Jesus wanted us to know that as branches, we are alive. And that we can grow and bear fruit only as we are connected to Him, to that true vine. As long as we are connected to Christ, the power of God's Spirit can run into us and through us and keep us alive and keep us thriving and growing and bearing and producing fruit. If we become cut off from Christ, we wither and we die. Then we're no good for anything. Our text today, I want us to look at three primary messages that I think Jesus relays to us in that passage. First, he talks about pruning, about bearing fruit, and finally, he emphasizes abiding. Now, it is interesting to note that the text goes from the very beginning to talk about pruning. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. What should we say about pruning? You see, Jesus says that God prunes the branches that bear fruit to make them bear even more fruit. We know that vines left to themselves will sprawl out all over the place and produce huge canopies of shoots, leaves, and branches. And unless that canopy is controlled, the vine won't yield much fruit. Now, if we think about pruning, it seems a little counterintuitive, because all the leaves suggest that that what you've got here is a very healthy vine. But if we're not careful, it may be all show and no tell. And I think Jesus, as he's facing the end of his time with the disciples in bodily form, he's wanting to emphasize certain things to them. And he's afraid that they might face that same problem. You see, he wasn't interested in disciples that were showy. Just like he's not interested in churches that are showy or Christians that are showy. What he's interested in is faithfulness. What he's interested in is fruit. What he's interested in is staying connected. So pruning is necessary to produce more fruit. Now, if you come to our house, you'll find several tomato plants on the side of our yard, and probably I've not done a very good job of keeping those pruned. But Leanne and I were instructed years ago about the importance of removing suckers. A sucker is a branch that usually grows in the fork of that main trunk in that fruit-producing branch. According to some pretty good tomato growers that I've talked to, that new branch will not produce fruit. It will only sap the resources from the fruit-producing branch. So to have a better crop, we have to remove those suckers. We have to do a little pruning. Now, we need to know that pruning is not really for punishment, but so that the plant can be even more fruitful. Pruning may sound destructive, but it's actually creative. It's helping that plant produce the important fruit. Now, I also saw a lot of pruning going on when I went to Walt Disney World several years ago. While visiting there with my children, with the girls, I noticed that they had these tremendous hedge-type plants growing in amazing shapes. They had one that looked like Mickey Mouse. They had one that looked like Donald Duck. And by trimming these bushes on a regular basis, by pruning them, they were able to shape the plants to look the way they wanted them to. I think in similar fashion, I think God prunes our lives to shape us, to form us, to transform us into the image of Jesus. Sometimes that pruning may be difficult for us. Sometimes it may be painful, but over time, God is changing us to look more like Christ. I think there's one more important thing we need to notice about this pruning that Jesus talks about. You can look at 100 vines and you'll never see one branch pruning another branch. You see, the job of pruning and shaping and trimming those vines must be the job of someone besides the branches themselves. See, that responsibility in our lives is left to God. We don't do that job. We don't know how to do that job correctly. We leave it to God's purpose. So we are called to bear fruit. And what is fruit? As I read this passage, I sometimes struggle with that analogy. Then my thoughts turn to Paul's listings of the fruit of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Where he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. As we look further in the passage that I read this morning, I think we have a better clue. In verse 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. The concluding part of that paragraph that I read today is about abiding in love, the kind of love that Jesus showed us. I think he's saying once again that we have to emulate the character of Jesus, that we have to emulate his love. See, a branch should have the same DNA, the same makeup as the trunk. If God is love, then we too should love. The final point that I want to focus on this morning from that passage concerns abiding. The word abide or remain is repeated several times in this short passage. Tells us it's very important. There's a book by Marcus Borg entitled Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. He speaks of his own pilgrimage, his own faith journey in understanding Jesus. And he tells of several phases in which his understanding of Jesus changed. At one point, he viewed Jesus primarily in the terms of involvement in his social and political issues of his day. But finally, he came to realize the central part of the spirituality in the life of Jesus. And he says that Jesus' grounding in the world of the Spirit was foundational for his life. Jesus' relationship to the Spirit, to the Father, was the source of everything that he was. And Marcus Borg tells of his life moving through different stages. And he says that even though he grew up in a household of faith, he admitted that there were times that he was, have even considered himself a closet agnostic. He says in his mid-30s, he had a number of experiences that fundamentally changed his understanding of God, of Jesus, and of the Christian faith. And he says those experiences were marked by what the Jewish theologian Abram Heschel called radical amazement. Moments of transformation in which everything around him is filled with the glory of God, shining with a radiant presence. He then describes his pilgrimage as beyond belief to relationship. He said in his late 30s he saw the Christian life as being primarily about believing. But after the experiences that he described, he concluded that the Christian life is actually more about entering into a relationship which the Christian tradition points us to, which is a relationship with God and the risen and living Christ in the Spirit. And as a Christian is one who lives out his or her relationship with God within the framework of a Christian tradition. He calls it a journey of transformation. And that's what that relationship with Christ is. It's a journey. It's a journey of transformation. Where we are awed by the glory of God. So that biblical image of a vine conveys a deep sense of connectedness to our lives. And the real measure of our lives is not so much what we believe, but to whom we are connected. The better we are connected, the more we are transformed. And that transformation comes from our connection to Christ, to the Spirit, not from our effort. We can't walk up to vines and tell them to start producing fruit. Nothing would happen. The vine grower has done his job. All the branches have to do in order to bear fruit is stay connected to that vine. Abide in Christ. As I thought about this passage and as I thought about it in the context of one of the final sermons I'll share with you before my pastorate with you concludes, I felt like it was an appropriate passage because I do think as we stay connected to the true vine, if we stay connected to the true source, it also connects us and joins us in a mutual journey. So I encourage us all to stay connected and stay open to that true vine so that we all might bear fruit together.
I want to remind everybody that next Sunday is Terry's final Sunday with us. I encourage everyone to be here. Those that aren't here, remind them. Let's have a full house to wish him well. We do have some special things planned for him, and there is a carry-in lunch, so I hope everybody can make it. Let's conclude today's service with singing hymn number 108, Rock of Ages.
Called to bear fruit. And we know we do that as we stay connected to you, as we abide in you. Help us to love as you love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.